About that reading, let's just pray together. Lord God, in this new year, we pray that you would give each of us a fresh start with you. Lord, we pray that today you would come and encourage us and challenge us and convict us. So give us ears that are open to hear what your Spirit has to say to us. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, January 2020, it's hard to believe we're here. The turkey is well and truly gone. The chocolates have been eaten and the clothes no longer fit. So we'd love you to come along to our weigh-in on Saturday mornings. And actually, Christmas seems like a little bit of a distant memory, perhaps. And that perhaps is true for you, that we have now celebrated this historic moment when God was born into this world. And Dennis was helping us think about the impact of that, how momentous that is, that God became flesh. But let's not close the door to Christmas just yet. Let's dig a little bit deeper as we try to understand the impact of Christmas on the rest of the year. This is not just a few weeks that we celebrate in church and then move on, but this impacts everything else that we do here. So I suppose I want us to ask the question of ourselves, how do we respond to Christmas throughout the rest of the year? This is Epiphany. This is the day when the wise men responded to Jesus. But how do we respond to our excitement about God? How do we respond to the wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us? And we do, of course, respond in many ways at Christmas time. Many of them are good things. We respond by spending time with our families. We respond by giving gifts to each other. We respond by decorating our houses and going to some extra services in church. We respond by dressing our children up like Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men and have them act out the Christmas story. We respond by singing Christmas carols. All good things, all worthy responses to what God has done at Christmas. But is that the only response that God is looking for from his people? God became man. Creator became created. And we rejoice in that. We praise God for this. But now that it feels like our days of celebration are over, how do we respond to God made flesh in Jesus Christ? I believe there's two ways that you and I need to respond to what has happened at Christmas. The first thing is that we need to receive him. It's what this passage says, that we need to receive him. I love the Gospel of John, and in this first chapter, there's some really beautiful words. Out of all the Gospels, John has a particularly beautiful way with words. And this chapter begins with those very famous verses we hear read every Christmas time. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Beautiful words. And then today we reach at these verses just a little bit later on. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John does this telescope thing in his gospel. He begins at the start of chapter 1 with this creator. God, the creator, made everything. In the beginning, there was nothing without him, and God is so vast. And as John continues to write this gospel, he continues to zoom in a little bit like a telescope. He's zooming in until he's zoomed in to the God who moved into our neighbourhood. So he goes from this vast creator out there to the God who moved into our neighbourhood. We need to let the reality of that hit us again this morning. Because God becoming flesh is not a historical event that happened 2,000 years ago that we just read about. It's a birth that happened for you. It is a gift from God to you as an individual. It's what God has given for you. And we receive the gifts of God in the birth of Jesus Christ. The Message translation, it puts verse 16 like this. We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. And God wants us to benefit from the gifts of the birth of Jesus Christ. So what is the gift that we receive in the birth of Jesus? Grace. Grace after grace after grace. And that sounds like a slightly holy, churchy word, and we kind of bandy that around a little bit sometimes. We talk about grace. What is it? What is grace, and why do we need it? Why did God need to give us the gift of grace in Jesus? Grace is literally a get-out-of-jail-free card for you and I. It's the gift of salvation. And the giver is Jesus. He is the one whose presence we cannot live without. The one who met the conditions of God for the payment of our sins and for the forgiveness of those sins on the basis of grace. A free gift given to us. Jesus stepped out of heaven to come for you because of grace. And that's the gift that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. And when you're given a gift, what's the correct response? When someone gives you a gift, what do you say? No, we don't actually say thank you. That's what we teach our children to say. What we say is, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have given me anything. And actually, that's true of Jesus Christ. We read in John 1, verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The Message puts it like this. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. Told that his own did not receive him. Those closest to him in geography, in race, in blood, they did not receive him. They did not accept him as their savior, and they missed out on the gift of God. And there are still people in the world who don't want to receive him. There are still people who say, oh no, you shouldn't have. I don't need your gift. This is not a token Christmas gift we're talking about here. This is the greatest gift that could ever be given to humans. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. We all need to be rescued. At some point in our lives, we all need to be lifted out of our mess. We need to have our feet set on solid ground. Even though we probably got ourselves into the mess in the first place, we still need to be rescued. And that is what the grace of God found in Jesus Christ can do for any of us. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, puts it this way. I love this explanation. Grace does not depend on what we have done for God, but rather what God has done for us. Ask people what they must do to get to heaven, and most reply, be good. Jesus' stories contradict that answer. All we must do is cry, help. All we must do is cry, help. It's how we receive Jesus Christ. It's how we receive the gift of grace. We just cry out to help, out to God for help. I don't know how you're feeling about 2020. I'm in slight trepidation. 2020 is the year that I turn 30, as Garvin keeps reminding me, so I'm not sure how I feel about it. Maybe it's shaping up to be a good year for you. Or maybe you're dreading this year a little bit on what might be in store. You need to know this. Your whole life could change this year, for better or for worse. In fact, it could change in a moment here today for the better if you are willing to cry out, help. to the God who created the universe, if you are willing to receive the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. It might be for the first time, it might be for the 10th time, but we all need to cry out, help, and God himself will come to our rescue. First way we need to respond is to receive Jesus Christ into our hearts. That's more than just knowing about him or hearing about him, but receiving him in our hearts and lives as our Savior. We need to receive him. Then secondly, we need to give to him. We need to give to him. This, as I mentioned, this day is Epiphany. And it's the day we associate with the wise men coming to visit Jesus as a young child. And we all know the story. They come and they bring three gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Of course, we know that the scholars think that these were chosen for their special symbolism. Gold representing the kingship of Jesus. Frankincense, a symbol of his priestly role. And myrrh, an indication of his death and the embalming of his body. But if Jesus was born today and you got to go and visit him, what would you bring? What could we possibly bring to the creator of heaven and earth? I consider myself a pretty good present buyer, probably one of the top present buyers in my family, and giving gifts is probably one of my love languages. It's how I express how I feel about people. And so getting just the right present, the right gift for someone is really important to me. I wanted to sum up what I say or what I feel or what I think about that person. And I was pretty sure that I nailed it this Christmas with my mum. In November, I ordered a photo blanket. So it's this beautiful soft blanket, but on the top of it is like a collage of all her favourite photos and memories. So there's a photo of her and I on my first day of school, a photo of her and her sister and their late brother, a photo of her and my dad before they'd even got engaged. I managed to take some of her most favourite and precious memories and collate them onto this blanket. I thought, I have done pretty well. There's no way my brother's going to top this year. And I was right. She loved it. She absolutely loved the blanket, and I know she's really enjoying that. But I think it's fair to say that my brother definitely trumped my present this year. On Christmas Day, we went to my brother and sister-in-law's house. And they gave my mum this tiny little box wrapped up with this little ribbon. And as she unwrapped it and lifted out the layer of tissue paper, there was a little scan photo of their first baby due in July. There is no greater gift than the gift of a human life. And I will hold my hands up and say that was definitely a better present than my blanket. It doesn't get better than the gift of a human life. And do you know what? That's all God wants from you and I. He doesn't want our stuff, doesn't want our money even, doesn't want our material possessions. He just wants us to hand our lives to him, to wholeheartedly say, here I am, Lord. I give you the gift of my life. It's what he wants from us. We know that some choose not to receive the gift of grace, not to choose the gift of forgiveness found in Jesus. But we also know this. This is what John says. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. As we receive him, as we give ourselves to him in response, we become part of the family of God. God signs the adoption papers for each of us. And as we do that, as we surrender our lives to God, we begin a relationship that all the power of hell could never break. And I wonder at where you're at today with all of this. What stage are you at in the conversation with God about this? How would you choose to respond today to the God who did all of this for you, who became a baby for the sake of your forgiveness and mine. It's a gift he gave to you, not just to the person sitting beside you today, but a gift for you. And if someone gives you a gift, then you should respond to them. So today, will you choose to say to God, "You shouldn't have. I don't need your gift." Or will you choose to say thank you and accept it with your whole heart? For some of us, we need to receive Jesus Christ for the first time today. Maybe you've known about him, you've heard about him for a long time, but you need to meet him today. You need to receive him today as your Savior. And for some of us, it's been so long since we first received him that actually we've forgotten about the joy that comes with that, receiving him. We've forgotten how truly amazing grace is. And we need to go back to that place today. We need to remember just how huge this gift is. And for all of us, we need to give ourselves to him afresh. It's the first Sunday of a new year. We need to start as we mean to go on, and we need to recommit ourselves, rededicate ourselves, and stop withholding from God. This is the perfect Christmas gift given by God Almighty, and we need to respond today. So how will you respond? Will you say you shouldn't have, or will you say thank you? Let's pray together. Lord Almighty, you stepped out of heaven and became nothing for our sake. And it is a gift that is so supreme, a gift above all other gifts. And today, as you extend the hand of grace to us, we pray that as we respond, we would think wisely about how we respond to you. Lord, we pray that we would not be people who say, "You shouldn't have. We don't need this." Lord, we pray that we would be people who, with all of our hearts, would say, "Thank you, Jesus." We pray that you would come and be born again in each of us today. For we ask it in your precious name. Amen.